Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, MidwayUSA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Hey everyone, Will Cooper here, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. Join us as we dive deep into the world of hunting and outdoor pursuits. We've brought together some of the most accomplished individuals in the industry to share their invaluable insights and experiences with you. But here's the kicker. It's not just about hunting tips and tactics. We're exploring how you can carve your own path, elevate your skills, and gain some wisdom from the best in the field. So whether you're a seasoned hunter looking to fine-tune your skills or a newbie eager to learn, our podcast has something for everyone. Stay tuned for more exciting guests and hotter topics. Don't miss out and subscribe to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast today and start making your mark in the great outdoors.
A game warden's children's book, titled A Cowboy in the Woods, is a story of Bobby, a boy who spends the whole summer observing wildlife, writing notes in his notebook, fishing with his dad, and keeping track of all the animals in his neighborhood, while trying to solve a neighborhood mystery. What he discovers is more than just an appreciation for the natural world. The idea for this book came from Wayne Saunders' own childhood experiences, growing up and exploring the woods and streams and lakes and ponds of his native New Hampshire. The love of nature instilled in his childhood led him to a career as a conservation officer. Wayne Saunders is a retired lieutenant conservation officer from the New Hampshire Fish and Game Department. Lindsay Webb is a naturalist, wildlife biologist, and environmental educator. Together, they collaborated with wildlife artist Ashley Mayers to produce The Cowboy in the Woods, the story of a boy whose love of nature leads him in unexpected directions. Available at wardenswatch.com and Amazon. Warden's Watch Podcast is now on Patreon, combining the Thin Green Line Podcast and the Warden's Watch Podcast on Patreon to bring member-exclusive extra content, both video, audio, and with product deals as well. Become a member to support our podcast and get something extra. Search Warden's Watch Podcast on Patreon.
We love our children. We protect them. We guide them. We prepare them for life in the world. With all that we do, from deep in our hearts, we cannot control all things. Life-threatening illnesses and disabilities affect far too many of our children each year. While we cannot change the circumstance, we can make dreams come true. Dreams to provide hope, to provide spiritual healing and strength, to provide moments of happiness and relief in the hardest of times. We can give a glimmer of light and hope in a time of darkness and despair. Join huntofalifetime.org to help make dreams come true, to provide hope for children with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Hunt of a Lifetime is a nonprofit organization fulfilling dreams for hunting and fishing trips to youth 21 and under with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Visit huntofalifetime.org to learn how you can make a difference.
Please join me, Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and other game wardens on our adventures, protecting wildlife, saving lives, and having fun, all while serving the public and the natural resources of our planet. Listen to the tales and experience of those who work in the outdoors while being entertained with stories about encounters with poachers,
wildlife investigation, murder investigation, near-death experiences, search and rescue missions, wildlife interactions from game wardens around the country and around the world. When I retired, I realized I couldn't let go of that legacy, but rather wanted to share the passion, the commitment, and the stories of those men and women that call themselves game wardens. This is Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and this is Warden's Watch. Please join me, Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and other Game Wardens on our adventures, protecting wildlife, saving lives, and having fun, all while serving the public and the natural resources of our planet. Listen to the tales and experiences of those who work in the outdoors while being entertained with stories about encounters with poachers, wildlife investigation, murder investigation, near-death experiences, search and rescue missions, wildlife interactions from game wardens around the country and around the world. When I retired, I realized I couldn't let go of that legacy, but rather wanted to share the passion, the commitment, and the stories of those men and women that call themselves game wardens. This is Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and this is Warden's Watch.
Well, Wayne, on today's episode of Warden's Watch podcast, we've got kind of a special one, man. We're sitting here actually together face-to-face for the first time in a couple, 3 years since Oklahoma. And we are sitting in Tennessee, in Nashville, with Warden Josh Landrum, who not only is the warden for the Nashville area, but also coordinated this whole madness of the NOEA conference that Tennessee has so graciously hosted. And we've got Josh with us today, man. And great to have you on. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. I love doing stuff like this. This is stuff I do. And, you know, I enjoy getting out and talking to folks about, you know, what we do as far as our association and these conferences. These conferences are awesome. So definitely thank y'all for having me this morning.
Absolutely, man. It's an honor. And, you know, we got to talk about all this NOEA conference business because there's so much that goes into it to bring game wardens from all over America, all over Canada. This is basically our SHOT Show for game wardens. I mean, this is as big as it gets. Yeah. And you're still a district warden in Nashville, a very hopping part. You got rural, you got urban, all these enforcement issues. But let's talk about what it takes to coordinate this event. And you've been president, and you're kind of handing the torch over what this event's been like to put together. And then we're going to go in the Wayback Machine and talk about you as a game warden, brother.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Sounds good. So, yeah, it's definitely been a big undertaking for me and for our association and all the guys that, you know, have helped me put this on and put it together. So it takes a lot of help, and I had a lot of good help.
Yeah, and I had the honor of meeting you in Oklahoma back in 2019, and that was my first NOEA conference. I had just retired, been 4 months out of retirement, and had a great time, obviously, being together in this level. Never done that before. And you hit me up to come to this one and do some speaking and work with you guys and get to know the great state of Tennessee a little bit better. And then the world flipped upside down with the pandemic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it just kept getting pushed farther and farther back because of COVID.
Yeah, well, I was super, super stoked to see that every year we'd have that conversation like, you still interested? Are we, Josh, are we still doing this? Or NOEA conference is even going to happen? But here we are 3 years later and running strong. And next year it's going to be in Utah, right?
Yep. Yes, sir. Yeah, next year it'll be in Utah. Don't have the exact dates yet, but it'll be in Utah next year. And I plan to be there. So I've gone to these conferences myself since 2015. So
awesome.
And I plan to keep going because I do enjoy it. It's great camaraderie, great training, and just a good time to hang out with officers from all across North America.
Yeah, it really is awesome because when we say we're the thin green line, we're not exaggerating. I mean, we are so spread out. And to get a whole nation together and see hundreds and hundreds of game wardens, man, is a real treat. Like I said, Oklahoma was my first one. And as long as, you know, we keep doing these, we're coming. And Wayne, now we get to get face-to-face at this event and do some great podcasts with you guys. It's one thing to do it remotely, which we can do with technology, but it's just not as personal and not as fun than sitting here face-to-face with you guys and breaking it down. So. Yeah.
Excuse my voice because you've had such a great conference that I can't talk anymore. But Josh,
hey, I'm getting right there with you.
Tell the guy that isn't here, the game warden that's listened to this podcast in his cruiser, tell him why he should land here. You know, tell him about the training you got because it's some of this is, really cutting edge, really important, really recent, and, you know, really relevant. And I want every game warden to know why he should be in Utah next year so we can double the participation.
Yeah, the whole goal of NAWEA at this conference is to put on excellent trainings. And I that's what, you know, was not a challenge because, you know, you got folks like John here that does an excellent, excellent training. And so, you know, reaching out to people that have different types of technology that we're using now in the field. You know, this morning, for instance, we have some of our guys from TWA, some of our investigators, our boating investigators and some wildlife investigators that are going to be talking about our remote operated vehicles that we use for, you know, search operations, boating accidents, finding, you know, missing people in the water. So they'll be talking about that later on this afternoon. Another one of our investigators is going to be putting on a training, just talking about, we got a Faro 3D scanner that scans crime scenes. They're used in the law enforcement world every day, you know, to scan any type of scene. We've used them on boating accidents, scanning boats. We've used them on hunting accidents. So we've used them on multiple hunting accident fatalities. And it's just, it's an excellent piece of equipment. And so it's trainings like that. If a game warden comes to this conference, that's what they're going to get. And we give certificates to them, certified certificates saying that they, you know, went through the court, went through the training, so they can take that back to their state or province and get training credit for it from from their folks. So, so yeah, that's a big plus of this conference. And that's the training portion. You know, this is, we try hard to make this a family oriented conference also. So
for
a lot
sure.
of, a lot of people bring their families.
My son's had a great time here. Great time. met a lot of game warden kids, and I think that's, you know, important. They're all experienced the same life.
I mean, we can talk more about the family oriented portion too, but yeah, we got a kids room. So if you do bring your family,
well stocked.
Yeah, and we have some excellent folks that run the kids room.
Yeah, and I'm glad you talked about John's training because John brings something so different to the game warden world that the first time I heard him, he changed my whole perception of what we should be doing and why we should be doing it. Yeah. Because he, that, you know, California took a whole different track. And I always thought to myself, what does game wardens do with marijuana?
What are they doing out there?
What are they doing out there? And after listening to John's training and giving you the tools, because that's going to happen in our states too, maybe not on the scale as California, but he's giving you the tools in the woods so you're going to be better in the woods and understanding what's going on. And it may save your life if they've set traps or things like that and the use of their canines differently than anybody else. So John's training is important to all law enforcement, I think, and as well as game wardens. So you switch your mind from this traditional thing. So, you know, if anybody, you know, wants John's training, certainly reach out to him because I think every state should have John there and talking about this. And what a great opportunity for all these people in North America to come together and listen to training like his. And today you have what Dave Brady is going to be speaking today about his boating incident too?
Yes, sir. Yep. Officer David Brady from Florida Wildlife Commission. He was involved in a shooting. He got shot
on a
boat patrol down in Panama City.
Yes.
And he's going to talk about his survival story. I mean,
excellent.
It could have very easily turned into a fatality, an officer involved shooting fatality.
Yeah.
And so he's going to talk about that. And, you know, just another thing too, the younger officers that are out there, that's who we really want to try to reach out to.
Yes,
absolutely.
This conference can see an officer, and I mean, I know there's multiple retirees that still come.
Yeah.
And today we're having a retiree lunch, and they get together every year. I mean, they've been, this is the 40th annual conference. So some of these guys have been coming for 30 years.
Time. Yeah. That's awesome.
And it gives them a chance to, you know, hook and reconnect back up. So the younger officer can come here, get training, and just get dialed in and hooked in into a great, great association in NAWEA.
Yeah.
And so
I can tell you're proud of it.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of work. I mean, the NAWEA board and all the different states that host this put a lot of work into making this conference the best thing possible.
Yeah. And you guys have John. I mean, we had our night out in Nashville was probably The best, one of the best times I've had since college, I think. So,
how do you host a better place in Nashville, Tennessee? And being in a cover rock band myself up in Montana to see so many good bands at every single business down Broadway, and just, you know, watching technique and vocals and genres, and man, I just it's easy to get lost in this and then come very tired to our booth the next day. Mm-hmm. But on the training front, you know, it kind of cuts both ways. The thing that, and Wayne, you hit it on the head, man, is that we're sharing so many different experiences from a global standpoint. You just don't get that anywhere else but NOWEA, because we're from everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, the Canadian guys and what they're getting into, and, you know, outside of cannabis and cartels and commercial wildlife and, you know, deep web internet sales, and man, and this is one of the best training groups and classes that I've seen since I've started NOWEA. So kudos, brother. Mm-hmm. Super diverse, been a great one. Thank you. But now we're going to be in Utah next year, and maybe you can go back to taking a little bit of a breather and doing district work and being a game warden again, right?
Yep, that's right. Yeah, but I go right back to work tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, man.
So I'll finish up with this tonight, and tomorrow morning we got a little breakdown time here at the hotel to get everything packed back up, and then I'm back out on the lake tomorrow working.
Dang, man.
So I'll get a break next week, but good. Hey, it's part of the job. I love doing it. So it's not work to me. I mean, just like, you know, all of us in the business, this is enjoyable. And, you know, it's not work to me, and I enjoy doing it.
So cool. And on that note, we're going to get into what you do here in Nashville and what it's like to be a Tennessee game warden and, you know, the music capital of the world. But let's go way back in the Wayback Machine and go to, you know, childhood, how you – your love for conservation. How did this all happen? Did you meet a game warden? Was it, you know, kind of generational in the family? And take us through your story.
Yeah, so I grew up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and my dad, we bass fished. My dad bass fished all the time, had a bass boat. So that's where I love bass fishing. That's my thing, is I'm a bass fisherman, and which puts me into what I'm doing now. I'm a boating officer for our agency.
Awesome.
So I do boating enforcement mainly here in the area. But yeah, that's kind of where it just got started. You know, bass fishing as a young kid. And then as I went through high school, I stayed really involved fishing with my buddies from school. And then when I went to college, I majored in wildlife and fisheries management at the University of Tennessee. So that's kind of my path that I went through as far as the background of why I love doing what I love doing. And it's just continues to develop, you know, from there.
So you started really young. I mean, you knew what you were doing. So after college, this was it. Did you start here in Nashville, or did you move around from a district before you got to this particular area? Or?
So, you know how it is. It's hard to get a job as a wildlife officer.
Very much so. Yeah.
A lot of competition. And I knew that going into it. So when I went to UT, down here in the southeast area, there's just not that many openings every year. So when I graduated UT, I applied to every southeastern state wildlife agency. I was willing to go anywhere.
Wow.
And I did. I got hired on in Alabama as a conservation enforcement officer down there. So I worked down there for about 3.5 years. Yeah. Loved it. Loved my time there. Had a blast working in Alabama as a CEO. And I guess that was 2008, and then 2011 had the opportunity to come back up this way.
Come home, right on. And did you land right here in Nashville when you did come back?
Well, I was close. I was close in the area, but I was about 3 counties to the west in what we call Region 1. We have 4 regions. We're in Region 2, the Middle Tennessee District. I was in the West Tennessee District, but I was right on the line. So I was in a county called Houston County, which is where Kentucky Lake is. So I worked Kentucky Lake, and I worked Houston County, and I did that. I was there for about a year, from about 2011 to 2012, and then I was able to transfer here to Davidson County, and I've been here since 2012, and I love it. And I'm one of the very few officers that has ever wanted to actually transfer to Davidson County, because here, I mean, I'm an urban game warden.
Sure.
So it's a lot of people that take these jobs. They're not, you know, urban related. You know, they want to go out to those counties and that, you know, are underdeveloped, not underdeveloped, but just more
woodsy.
Woodsy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, you are a rare find.
The quote-unquote dream districts, but you are. Yeah. In California, you know, being from the Silicon Valley, where most of my career was, we'd get new officers that were fantastic officers, but they're like, I'm not staying here, man. I'm going into the bush where I can afford a home and, you know, be off the beaten path. And but people don't really, I mean, the public doesn't understand that. What are game wardens doing in urban areas? I don't see deer in the streets, and I see these waterways, but I don't think there's fish in them, man, because it's like commercial boats running. But there's so much more going on from the standpoint of challenge.
Yeah.
And tell us about that. I mean, what you're a boating officer, but there's so much going on here in Nashville, got to be.
Yep, Davidson County, and people ask me that all the time. People hunt in Davidson County?
What?
And we have some – this county has some of the biggest deer in the state.
Wow. But
one, because it is an urban area, and there are there's some limited places where you can hunt. But, I mean, there's some places you can hunt for sure. We got a lot of ridgetops.
Okay.
Every ridgetop you see when you're driving through Nashville, people are hunting those ridgetops. There's radio towers up there. People go up to the radio towers. It's all private property, but for the most part, it's private property. But there's a lot of hunting going on in Davidson County.
Wow.
Great deer population and awesome turkey population. So but along with that, it being an urban area, a lot of people just, you know, they don't hunt, unfortunately.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of people that are out there that are unfamiliar with, you know, the outdoors.
Sure.
So we deal with a lot of nuisance calls. Coyote population here is unreal.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of calls and coyotes and a lot of, you know, injured deer calls. It's a different world in an urban area, but man, I love it. And like I said, I do. I transferred into our boating division. We all do everything here in Tennessee.
Right.
The way our agency is set up, you know, our boating officers and our wildlife officers all wear the same uniform.
Nice.
The only difference is how we code our time and what I spend my time on. And so I bounce back and forth. You know, I'll help out the county wildlife officer on those big opening mornings, you know, and then during the summertime, they help me out on the lakes.
Get up on those boats, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and from the standpoint of boating, I mean, there's a ton of waterways just in the limited time I've gotten to know this part of your state.
Yep.
And what's a typical day, and what are the violations you're running across on the angling front, and how many people are you contacting? Because it's got to be pretty overwhelming, especially on the summer seasons and whatnot, right?
Yes, sir. So being right here in Nashville, we have Percy Priest Lake, which is about a 15-minute drive from Broadway in downtown. It's about a 10-minute drive from the airport. And I call it Percy Priest is the Broadway of the lakes. That is where – so, you know, Nashville right now is the bachelor and bachelorette capital of the party scene.
Okay.
And it was I forget what magazine it was in, but it was voted the number one place to go for a bachelorette party. And that's what we get. We got a big rental boat industry. So a lot of party boats are going out there.
A lot of partying going on.
A lot of partying. So that leads into the alcohol consumption on boats. So my main focus on the waterways is boating safety and keeping people safe. So my number one goal is to remove impaired operators from the boat. So we make more arrests on Percy Priest Lake than any lake in the state.
I'll bet.
So every year we lead the state in arrest on Priest. Mm-hmm. And that's just Priest. We got Old Hickory Lake, which is an awesome bass fishing lake. Mm-hmm. A lot of angling going on there. And then, of course, we got the Kremlin River that goes right through the middle of downtown. And that's where the fireworks show is every year. Tons of it. We got an indie race that's going to be in, it'll be the second annual indie race in Nashville.
Oh geez.
So we'll be out there on the water, and along with the indie race, the day before the indie race, they're going to have a jet ski race on the water. So we'll be out there on a river closure working the jet ski race. So a lot going on here because of the proximity or just the location of where we're at. So
You know what? I got to ask. We're in Nashville. Country music is huge. So you're out there. You're checking people. You've checked some pretty famous people, haven't you, fishing?
I've met a few.
Yeah. So Brad Paisley, I think he's a big fisherman.
Yep. I've never met Brad out there, but no. I do have one. Hayden
Brad, Bennett. Brad, get out there. So,
you got to be Josh Brad. I know he's been out there.
Yeah.
But if you're familiar with Hayden Panettiere, she was on the show Nashville. She's an actress.
Yeah.
She was out on a boat, and I didn't know it was her. I had no clue it was her.
Yeah.
My partner that was with me recognized her.
You finished the ticket, you wrote her name and didn't even.
Well, we had a pontoon boat waving us down. Yeah, we had a pontoon boat waving us down. I go over there, and it was broke down. And we're sitting there. It was just a boat full of her and her friends. I had no clue. And I was driving the
boat. You thought it was a bachelorette party, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And I was the boat driver that day, and my partner, he was the contact officer, and he made contact with him as I'm pulling the boat up. And he comes back. He's like, "Hey, do you know who that is?" I'm like, "Nope, I have no clue." And he's like, "That's Hayden Panettiere." So anyways, got to tow. Hey, their boat was completely broke down, so got to get them back to shore and got a couple pictures with people. So, yeah,
cool.
run across a lot of people here in Nashville.
Yeah.
That's another plus side of the job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, very great. Cool. Yeah. No. So, yeah, country music was just, epic, and you seemed to fit right in it, too, when you were introducing people on the stage the other night. So you seemed to be your cause, and, that was epic, and thanks for, yeah, I'm hearing my voice again, all due to that night.
Yeah,
so.
For folks out there, I'm not saying you can expect this at every conference, but we did. We had Daryl Worley. We went to Jason Aldean's rooftop down in Nashville. We had the entire top floor rented out one night. And,
that
was amazing.
And we were very fortunate to have Daryl Worley there. And, man, he put on a show.
He put on a show.
After the show, I was backstage talking to him, and he told me, he said, "This is the best crowd that I've performed in front of in years."
Wow.
And he goes, "Make sure you tell y'all's folks that." He goes, "I thoroughly enjoyed this show."
He seemed vested.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's very pro law enforcement. I mean,
he's such a patriot, man.
Yeah.
He just gets the game warden thing, and besides being a great musician. So that was, that was an absolute 5-star experience.
Hit out of the ballpark.
Expected. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
That was amazing, man.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. After going to the Grand Ole Opry the night before and then that, I was like, I got my dose in Nashville and I did it right.
Yeah. And it was, man, it went really smooth. That was one of the harder activities to put together.
I'll bet.
Spent a lot of time putting that activity together. So,
yeah.
But I'm glad it went great and everybody loved it.
I guess the people on the second floor didn't know what was going on. They thought it was an earthquake or something.
Yeah.
They thought the third floor was going to come down from what people were saying.
Just starting the rumble,
like,
man.
What is going on up there? Because it is crazy. The floor is jiggling. It's bouncing up and down. And they're thinking, is it going to cave in?
I'm assuming. I thought about that too. I was like, I'm assuming. I'm assuming they go through some really high quality inspections on a regular basis.
I would imagine
stress testing.
Yeah, because the floor was shaking.
It was.
Cool, man.
No, outstanding. Hey, thanks for joining us, sharing in Tennessee, sharing, the conference. Had a really good time. And for us, it's really good context with podcasting to interview the wardens, just to get those contact lists for the future and let you guys know what we're doing. We're telling game warden stories. We're telling the hero stories, if you ask me, because I'm particular. John is too. We love our brothers and sisters in this job, and that's why we do it. And we got a lot of great feedback, I will tell you, about this, because I had so many, especially after they had one or two drinks, they came up and said thank you.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's so important for us to know that we're doing something right, that we're touching people, and that, we're telling their stories for the general public, and, that it's there, say, hey, if you're interested in being a game warden, listen to the Warden's Watch podcast, The Thin Green Line, everything underneath there, and then, they get a taste of it.
Big time.
Yeah.
And Josh, to pony up on what you said before about the younger generation of game wardens and encouraging them to come to NOWIA's, the Pennsylvania and New York crew, and there's some young officers here that have been cornering us, all three days, motivated, fired up, listening to the podcast, watching the TV shows, and they inspire. With all the challenges and everybody turning away from law enforcement, some of the divisiveness and, nasty stuff we've seen the last 3 years since the pandemic especially, these guys remind us of all of us, just like they've wanted it. They love it. They're not letting anything, cloud, no noise, cloud what's going on, and they're going to be great officers. They are. I mean, that's super inspiring to see here that I've seen the last 3 days.
And quite a few of them from Tennessee, too, I will tell you that. So you've got some great folks.
It's amazing. Yeah. So kudos.
Yeah. Man, I encourage younger officers, go to a conference. Once they go to one of these conferences, I talked to a lot of new guys that had never been to one here today or this week, and most of them told me, man, I gave it a try, and I love it.
You go, I'm coming back.
I'm coming back. Because it is. I mean, it's just excellent, top-notch training.
Yeah. And we're going to continue on because we're moving it to Utah next year.
Yep.
So we're going to talk to them about what they have planned, hopefully, and what's in store. Because change of venue, but another epic place.
Oh yeah, I've never I've never been to Utah, and I'm excited.
I'm excited too.
Amazing state. Yeah.
John's been, you know, you probably driven through it 150 times.
Yeah, it's one of those mountain diverse states, man. Like where I'm at in Montana, it's gorgeous, and those guys have, you know, the same type of challenges we do, and especially the, you know, the deep cover stuff on big game and all kinds of nastiness, because I got a lot of trophy species down there in mountain country, and
some of the best national parks in the country are there, you know, Zion, Canyonlands,
Four Corners down in there. It's just amazing. It's going to be a fun conference. Yeah.
That's the other thing I like about NAWEA. They move this conference around all across the country. I've had the opportunity to go to Vermont. We've had it in Vermont. We've had it in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We've had it in Sault Ste. Marie. Canada. And so we've had it in South Carolina. So, man, just the ability to go different places, get training, you know, get a little work in, and enjoy the beautiful parts of this their state.
Absolutely.
And our association, we drive. We usually rent a 15-passenger van, and we get to see the country. I mean, we take our time, and we get there, and get to see some beautiful, beautiful parts of the country just going to these conferences. So that's another plus for me.
I just want to let you know you are in the middle of the country, though, just to let you know. Some of us from the East Coast, when we drive to Utah, the administration wouldn't be too happy when wardens take, like, 3 weeks off.
For that long drive. And Josh, so talking about the diversity of where we're going, so we're Utah next year, and then I heard Wisconsin in 2024 potentially?
I believe so.
I think that's what I heard last night at the social, and then Pennsylvania
I know
in 25.
Yes, I know Pennsylvania is on the list here in the next couple of years.
So it's bouncing around, getting all the corners covered. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but each one with its own distinct area, just like you said. So I hear Pennsylvania's looking at like Lake Erie.
Yeah.
And I just think, when I think here Erie, I think walleye fishing.
Yeah. You know, and Wisconsin, you know, Aldo Leopold. They got Aldo Leopold's place there.
Yeah.
And I've had the opportunity in college to go visit that site where he lived at, and that is an awesome state also with a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, I was on the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore in Lake Superior in Wisconsin as a park ranger, and I will say, absolutely. Yeah. Pretty awesome place to hang out and get to know a little bit more. So, sweet.
Well, awesome, brother. Thanks for being on and sharing time. Thanks for hosting such a great conference, and we're just going to keep the party going to Utah with you, man, next year.
Man, I really appreciate y'all having me. I mean, these podcasts are awesome. They're so popular, and I'm excited. I'm excited to get on there, and y'all do a great job, and I love it. So thank y'all for having me.
You bet. Thank
you. Cool.
Thanks.
Please join me, Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and other Game Wardens on our adventures protecting wildlife, saving lives, and having fun, all while serving the public and the natural resources of our planet. Listen to the tales and experiences of those who work in the outdoors while being entertained with stories about encounters with poachers, wildlife investigation, murder investigation, near-death experiences, search and rescue missions, wildlife interactions from game wardens around the country and around the world. When I retired, I realized I couldn't let go of that legacy, but rather wanted to share the passion, the commitment, and the stories of those men and women that call themselves game wardens. This is Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and this is Warden's Watch.
Hey everyone, Will Cooper here, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. Join us as we dive deep into the world of hunting and outdoor pursuits. We've brought together some of the most accomplished individuals in the industry to share their invaluable insights and experiences with you. But here's the kicker. It's not just about hunting tips and tactics. We're exploring how you can carve your own path, elevate your skills, and gain some wisdom from the best in the field. So whether you're a seasoned hunter looking to fine-tune your skills or a newbie eager to learn, our podcast has something for everyone. Stay tuned for more exciting guests and hotter topics. Don't miss out and subscribe to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast today and start making your mark in the great outdoors.
You'd think, with four of us spread out on a tiny island, that the task of tagging a whitetail would not be a big thing. But, as I've learned, no matter where I've been, whitetails can be damn tricky.
Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.